Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 9, if you could, please. We're going to be in Luke chapter 9. Greetings from our church in Austin. Our little church there, it's going good. When we get a good crowd, we get about 45 people on a Sunday morning. So that's not bad for a few years of working there, but praise the Lord. It's been great. We've been working hard, and I just praise the Lord for giving us the opportunity to start something new in the city of Austin. Also greetings from my wife and the rest of my kids. They couldn't make it this year, but we're planning and pray that we will be able to make it next year. But they definitely send their greetings, and they are definitely either watching it live. I don't know exactly, but we'll see. But for sure they're present with us, and we appreciate your prayers and support through all these years. It's been absolutely phenomenal, and thinking about it, I just can't thank you enough. God has really blessed us immensely. Please continue to pray for us over there. We do covet your prayers. They are the essential part of our ministry. So if I could just get into the message, Luke chapter 9. That's where we're going to be in from around verse 57. But before we get into the passage, I've noticed an interesting trend. Well, a trend that has been happening since beginning of time, but is getting worse and worse, is the biggest problem in our society today is the self-centeredness of our lives. This mentality of it's all about me, my comfort, my joy, my health, my plans, my reputation, my career, my desires, my past, my rights, my body, my choice, all these, my, it's all about me. And it's always incredible, especially when you see this happening, especially like when you're standing in line and you happen to have not realized that you cut somebody off or something, like, hey, I was here first. I'm here first. Sorry. Yeah. It's just something that is all about me. And now we live in the Texas country, so we do hear, you guys probably, some of you have some country songs, or if you want to admit to it or not, I don't know. But there is a song that says, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I want to talk about number one. If you know how to finish the song, then that's, we know. So it's a real catchy song, of course, we don't understand, but it's just that self-centeredness society is about, I want to talk about me. Me, I'm the center of everything, and it's about me. Yeah, that spirit of me first is expected from the world. But as Christians, and as Christ's instruments, we should really fight this mentality in ourselves. We need to work on that. If we really want to be effective for the Lord, it can't be about me. That's what this whole conference is about. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's about what He has done. And the spirit of me, where does it come from? It doesn't come from God. It started with the one who said, I want to be God. I want to be as God. I want to be served. I want. And that's where we are today, in this mentality of I want. I am the center of everything. I am the center of the universe, and I am most important. It's all about me. So in Luke chapter 9, we're going to read it, and then I'll pray. Luke chapter 9, 57 says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, and but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Father in heaven, we do pray that you bless this conference. I pray you bless this me speaking, Lord. I pray you use me for your glory. Lord, I pray you take away any self-centeredness that is in me, Lord. I pray that you that it be all about you. Help me to focus on what is important, Lord. You are the center of our everything, Lord. We praise you. We glorify your name. Bless the rest of these meetings, Lord. May it be a blessing to those who hear. May it prick hearts. May it change mentalities, Lord. May it stir up in ourselves a revival within us, Lord. We pray that you work in us. We thank you for all you've done. May your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this mentality is very interesting. This mentality of self-centeredness, and it's a big problem that we have in our society, where it's all about me, and it cannot be about me. It should not be about me. And as you see here, we have twice in this passage, we have where somebody said, suffer me first. Me first. Me first. And Jesus says, follow me. But I said, well, me first. I have something to do first. I got something better to do first. I know what you're saying, but let me do something first. It's me first. The first me first, as you see in the first one, is not really clearly stated that he says me first, but Jesus kind of gives the impression of what he's really after. He said in 57, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Really? Are you ready for that? Jesus says, he answers him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. So he's saying, listen, it's not going to be as beautiful and as a bed of roses as you're thinking it's going to be. It's not going to be all about your comfort. The first me first desires comfort over commitment. Yeah. Comfort is a big issue in our lives. Yeah. We want comfort. We want air conditioning. Yep. If it's not air conditioning, we said no thank you. I would rather get something worse but have air conditioning than something better without air conditioning. Why? Comfort. I don't want to sweat. It's too hot. It's okay. It's that mentality that it's all about the comfort of this life. And this person that he's saying, this man sounds like he's really ready. Lord, I want to follow you. Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. Sounds ready. Sounds prepared. But Jesus reminds him of a couple facts. That following him is not going to be as easy. And it's not an easy way out of responsibility of life. Just to say, I'm going to follow you and everything's going to be great because you're going to feed me and you're going to do everything and I'm just going to follow you and you're going to prepare everything for me. Jesus says, it's not going to be as you think it is going to be. See, discipleship is not about comfort or your emotions. Many of Jesus' disciples, even today, want the benefits of having Christ as their Savior, as their helper, as their healer. Why? Because He saves me. He helps me. He heals me. As long as God is doing the action, I'm okay with that. But the moment I say the Lord, that God is my Lord and my King, that's a commitment on a whole nother level. Because now I have to say He's Lord, and I'm not. It's not about me no longer. So when it comes to calling him Lord, that's a hard thing because that means you got to get out of your comfort zone. Amen. Oh, we like our comfort zone, don't we? Sometimes it's pretty big, that comfort zone. I really wonder how many times our comfort zone has stopped us from following Christ and doing what God has chosen and asked us to do. Follow me, but we said my comfort first. Me first, Lord. I have comforts that I need, that I have to have these set. If I can't get these, I'm not doing it. Yes, I wonder about that. The comfort how we look at it. Following Christ, Jesus said, is not going to be easy. What does it say? It says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, doesn't sound very pleasant to bear a cross. We saw what Jesus did when he bore his cross. When he carried it, we understand what it means to deny yourself, to say no to self. And that goes against the me first mentality. That goes completely against that self-centeredness. It's not about me. It's about him. And he says, bear your cross. If you want to be a disciple, you got to take up your cross and follow me. Crucify yourself. Oh, we don't like crucifying ourselves. I know. We don't like it. Our flesh hates it. Matthew 16:24 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself first and take up his cross and follow me. So he says the first step that you have to do to follow him is deny yourself. Say no. You gotta say, it's not about my comfort. Comfort is a big excuse why we don't do a lot of things. I don't feel comfortable in doing it, Lord. I don't feel comfortable in talking to that person. He may smell a little bit. I don't feel comfortable going outside and doing that because it's a little hot outside. There's no air conditioning out on the streets. I don't want to do certain things because it's uncomfortable for me and I don't want to do it. But the Lord said, you want to follow me? Deny yourself. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. What kind of disciples are we really? Is our comfort that important to us? That we are willing to sacrifice being true disciples of Christ by saying, let me first consider the comforts of this world before I actually follow you. So a disciple only interested in the comforts of this life will ask these kind of questions. Lord, I'll follow you, but how much is it really going to cost me? If you really want to follow the Lord, it's going to cost you. It's not going to be easy. Oh, but it's going to be worth it. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Down the road, you will see the results a whole lot better than if you said no to what God is saying and said yes to yourself and to your comfort, and you sat doing nothing. The comforts that we have, that we want, and we desire sometimes get in the way of being true disciples of our Lord and Savior when He asked us, follow me, do what I want you to do. And Jesus kind of expounds that a little bit more when he talks about this error of the me first mentality, of this comfort that this first man was actually talking about. Jesus talks to him and says about not having nowhere to lay his head. So in other words, he's saying, follow me, following me will not lead to comfort, will not lead to popularity, or even earthly security perchance. But it will be laying up treasures in heaven. Isn't that a whole lot more better? Isn't that a whole lot better than having the comfort of this world, but laying up treasure in heaven where actually you know that you're going to receive and you're going to be able to take that and lay it at Christ's feet and say, Lord, this is what I did for you. With what you gave me. Now, this doesn't mean that God does not bless His children with earthly things. Praise the Lord, He does. He does. He is an amazing Father. Even though we sometimes fail, even though we sometimes forget, and we focus on the comforts of our own, and we forget about that, He still blesses. That's an incredible God right there. But if that is the reason why you are want to follow Christ is just to have the comforts of this world, then you're going to be sorely disappointed at the end of your road. That we chose comfort rather than following Christ. You know, some will only follow Christ as long as He can guarantee that the road will be easy. Or the blessings will be seen and easily accessible. Or the sacrifices will be very few and the costs will be cheap. But when trouble comes, their faithfulness is challenged. Kind of like that third type of ground in the sower's parable, isn't it? And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. It's a problem. It's a problem in the world. And I'm not even saying the U.S. It's a problem all around. We want our comforts. We want what we can, we want the nicest, the best, and we want the comfort that this life can have. And praise the Lord if you have it. But He says, first seek ye the kingdom of God. First seek what, and all the rest God is going to give if you first put Him first. It's important. Too often we focus too much on comfort and not enough on servitude. Serving is not comfortable, is it? Servants don't have comforts. For the first time, we went to a medieval castle that was near our house. I took Magda found it and decided we were going to take Micah, my nephew, and my mom and dad decided they want to come along too. They haven't been there, so we went to this medieval castle, which had a torturing chamber, and I mean torturing chambers like you have never heard of torturing chambers. The methods, and they were torturing people who they considered, or women who they considered to be witches. Ooh, it was gruesome. There's a reason why they call it medieval. It was evil. It was evil. It was absolutely horrendous seeing what they did there. The history is that place was the last person who got burnt at the stake in Europe is in that castle. The last person, I think 1880 something, I can't remember the date, but it was not too long ago actually, by Polish standards. Maybe not American standards, but Polish standards, it wasn't too long ago. But servitude is not comfortable. The parable of the servant who went out to work and then comes back, and the master says, "Now serve me." Remember that parable? That story? It talks about that master, he's in this house, and the servant's been out all day, he's working, he's in the field, he comes home late at night, he's tired, and the master says, "Okay, I want food now, go make me something to eat." He goes, "Like, I just got home." The master says, "No, serve me. I want you to serve." It's a difficult thing. It's not easy. But the Bible says that in John 6:66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? Because they got offended at something he said, and it wasn't popular anymore to be a servant of Christ. Christianity built on comfort will not last long once servitude starts to cost. That's the first person who just said, "Lord, I want to follow you." Jesus says, I know your heart. I see deeper than what you see." The second man, the second me first, we have from verse 59. The second man says, Lord actually says to him, "Follow me." But he had an excuse. "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." So he even has a logical excuse. But the problem with this second me first is that this mentality is a delayed obedience. I want to do what you're saying, but I got other more important things to do first. I got other things to set up before I can actually do what you want me to do. And the Lord says, "I didn't ask you what you had to do first. I said, follow me." I said, "I got something to do for you. I got to work for you. Follow me." I didn't ask you your opinion. I said, follow me. So this second one didn't really reject Jesus upright. He only delayed his obedience for a better convenient time. That's so he thought. Sometimes that happens a lot. That's another self-centered way that self-centeredness works. These kind of people don't say no outright. They say later. Whereas some of the teen says in a minute. Or in a sec. Later, not now. Or some other things that they have excuses. It's a popular, not only in Poland, the word is zaraz, which means in a minute. It's a, I hate that word. It just means not now. Which not now never comes now, because it's not now. I don't want it now. It's a phrase that people use a lot until they need something, right? Right, teenagers? Until you need something. You need money. What do you want? You want it now. "Dad, I need some money." "Well, I'll give it to you later." "No. I need it now. Food, help, or whatever you want it now. Yeah, there was a Roman governor named Felix who had a similar mentality. Remember him? In Acts 24, we can look that up, please. Acts 24, 25. The book of Acts 24, chapter 24, verse 25. We can read 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, Paul did reason of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." A convenient season. It's inconvenience now. I will follow you, but at a more convenient season. When it's more convenient and not so political maybe for him at that time. Maybe I'm not quite fully understanding, fully seeing it the way you want to see it. It's inconvenient for me. Which is a problem. Which is a problem in our society when we see how people really act. Felix, number one, he has the first mentality of comfort. I have my comforts, right? And the second thing, he says he is delaying his obedience to the truth. He's saying, I have a more convenient season, not now. I want to do it, I want to believe it, but it's at a different time. Then we have James. If you can look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 13. He says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away?" Right. I wonder how many times that convenient season never came for some people. Because that convenient season just was a day too late. We thought we were going to do it tomorrow, but we weren't guaranteed tomorrow. We thought we would be able to do it, but the door of opportunity was closed. God says, follow me now, not later. Do what I want you to do now, not whenever you think is the time to do it. God says, I want you to follow me now. And he said, oh, Lord, I have a better idea. I want to do it just at a more convenient time. And that's one of the Satan's best weapons in his arsenal is the word later. He didn't say no. He didn't say outright, no, I'm not going to do it. He said later. I will do it. You know, in a sec. Almost. Right? In a way. These words have a huge impact on many people who almost even became Christians. Right? We have some like that. Agrippa was one of those. Right? Then Agrippa said unto Paul, I almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I wonder how many almost Christians also almost went to the mission field. Or almost decided to go to the streets and preach the gospel. Or almost preached the gospel to their neighbor. Almost did something for the Lord that they felt God was saying do it. And they're like, not now. I'll think of a better time, but just later. It's not convenient right now. Oh, the almost. I wonder how many almost have we missed out on in our lives as disciples of Christ. You know, this man, he thought he had a good excuse. I need to bury my father. Maybe the dad was dead already. We don't know. Maybe the dad was dying and we wanted to wait, which is logical. I'm going to wait, Lord. I need to settle it. Lord said, listen, I'm pretty sure you have other family members. You're not the only one. I need you now. I want you now. I want to have a job for you now. He says, let the dead bury their dead. Sounds cruel, but Lord's saying, he's Lord. Is he Lord? If he says come, we say, Lord, why are we saying Lord if we don't say yes?
Amen.
Yeah, I knew that this wasn't going to be a lot of amens out of this one. You know, it was really funny. I had this all prepared and then I looked at the schedule and I saw that I was up first. And I'm like, Lord, I have a me first sermon and I'm up first. Are you trying to tell me something? The Lord has an interesting sense of humor.
Amen.
The third guy, this third man, the third me first mentality, what is his problem? looking back at our text, he says that he said, "Lord, I will follow thee." Oh, he's, "I will follow thee." Oh, I like it. "I will follow thee." Yeah. He said, "But let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Let me first say goodbye to my family members." Sounds reasonable, right? Sounds like a good idea. Let me first do that. God is saying, me first is in conflict with both the spirit and the flesh when it comes to this idea of looking back rather than ahead. Looking back at what Lord is calling you to do, he said, look forward. He said, "Lord, don't go back. Don't go back to where you were. Go forward, looking forward. We're looking unto Christ. Yes, we have family members. Yes, and they will." He said, "You can take care of that. But right now, I have a job for you." But the man says, "Let me first go say something. Let me first go take care of something." This man wanted to follow Christ, but his heart was being drawn backwards. Wrong direction. Lord is not saying, we're not looking back, we're looking forward. He says here, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Now I know we're in Texas country where people actually probably have plowed. Hands up, how many have actually plowed a land? Actually plowed it. Don't be shy, you can put it up higher. I've never plowed. I have cut grass before. I know it doesn't qualify, but at least I know that if you want a straight line, you gotta focus something on the, and I have a kind of weird land in my house. I got a weird octagon type of a land that's kind of weird shaped, and I gotta, to make it semi-straight, I gotta find a fix on a point on the other side of my fence and go there, and then okay, I got a straight line. But if I, and I've done it before the first time I cut it, and I did not do that, I was like, "Oh man. That's horrible. What was I doing? Not concentrating, not focusing on what I was doing. I just did it. Got the job done, but it looked horrible." So he's saying, don't look back. The Bible talks about a lot of people who look back. Lot's wife. The Israelites complaining about the wilderness and wanting to go back to Egypt. Demas, from 1 Timothy 4:10, who wanted to go back to the world, the pleasures and all those things that were there. Looking back is a huge problem where we, when the Lord said, look forward, and we're like, "But look what I'm going to leave behind. I don't know if I'm willing to leave this behind." I can tell you right now, I know of a missionary that just surrendered and they didn't look back. Brother Brian and Sister Judy, who left a lot of things back.
Amen.
They're a huge blessing to me. Huge. For what, and that's an example. If they can do it, so can you. How many times have we looked back and counted the cost? It's not beneficial for me. I want to do it, Lord. I want to follow you, but I have family. I have things I need to take care of. I have... Oh, I know it's important. And it's a huge problem, but we have to fight that me first mentality. We can't walk close with God if we're constantly looking back over our shoulders. If we're walking with God and we're looking over our shoulders, eventually we're going to veer away. Because you're not going to be following the way he's following. You're not going to be doing where he's going. You're going to veer away. He won't. You will. We will. If we are not careful. Those of us who have little kids, that's one of the first lessons in walking, isn't it? Don't walk forward and look back. You're going to run into somebody. You're going to hit something. You're going to slam into a pole. Or in Poland, actually, that means two different things. I'm happy you got that. But it happens. I mean, even we still do it. You know, we still think, "Oh, what's going on?" And we slam into something. Like, "Oh, that's so stupid. I know that. That's not, you shouldn't do that." Yet we do that as Christians. We walk forward and we're looking back and we're thinking, oh, you know, that was really interesting back there. And Lord said, no, what are you looking there? I'm up here. Why are you looking back? I'm here looking forward. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. We're not looking back. We shouldn't be. Amen. So this me first looking back mentality has a conflict of interest. This man's words sounded more like, I will follow you, Lord, but me first. What was the problem? The real issue? He couldn't fully commit himself to the Lord. Jesus desires your whole heart, not just part of it. No one can serve two masters, that the Bible's talking about. James talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So this kind of discipleship is, a disciple is unstable because he's trying to go in two opposite directions at the same time. Not going to work. You're not going to do anything beneficial for anybody if you're going in two different directions at the same time. You're looking, you're serving the Lord, you want to serve, but you're looking back, you're going to be useless. Just the way it is. The conclusion of all this, and I don't want to drag it on, is that the antidote for the me first problem is Christ above all.
Amen.
Mentality. If we can get Christ above all, then we can fight this me first mentality. And we have to. We have to deny ourselves, as we spoke earlier. And in Luke chapter 9 shows us these three points issue with the fleshy self-centeredness of our lives is that the flesh says, my comfort. I want comfort. Jesus says, I'm always worth it. Follow me. The flesh says, I'm not ready yet. Jesus says, follow me now. The flesh says, what about them back there? There's there are people I'm leaving behind. Jesus says, look at me, not what's back there. I'll take care of them. I'm Lord. I chose you to follow me. You do what I say. So what's your me first mentality problem? Comfort? Could be. Maybe it's a logical excuse why not to be obedient to him right now. Maybe you have a good reason. And if one of those reasons is because the language is too hard, don't let that be the reason. That cannot be the reason. That's just an excuse. You may think it's a good excuse, but it's still an excuse. So what's yours? Maybe it's looking back when Christ is telling you, look forward. I have something for you to do. Jesus doesn't want it to be added to your life. He says, I want to be your life. Amen. I want all of you. I want every single ounce of your being to be mine. I redeemed you, did he not? I bought you with the price, did he not? I chose you, did he not? Yet we say, Lord, some other time. Because it's not convenient at this moment, because I have other better things, or I'm scared of what will happen to... Has he not taken care of you so far?
Amen.
Has he not been with you so far?
Amen.
And we can't trust him enough to say, all right, Lord, that's what you put in my heart. That's what you want me to do. I'm going to stop counting the cost. I'm going to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to follow you. So Jesus doesn't want to be added to your life. He wants to be your life. The final thought here is me first says my comfort, my time, my way. True discipleship says Jesus first. Jesus now, Jesus always.
Amen. Amen.